Proverbs in chapter number 22, and we're still here, Lord willing. We'll be moving on next week. We've been here talking about the training of a child. Last week we talked about types of training. This week we want to talk about the elements of training, the things that are involved, the things that are required for training. And let me, as you're turning there, just say a couple more things about the fellowship meeting, how important it is. And this is why it's important, because preachers, I and other preachers, we need to be preached to. And you say, well, don't you listen to messages in your car? I do, and I'll listen to a message, you know, on my phone sometimes when I'm doing something. But at the same time, I also believe that I need to have somebody get up in front of me with the Word of God and confront me with it, just like I confront you with it every time you come here. And it's not something that, because I got a diploma, I'm above the need of. I need it just as much as anybody. And so that's why we have fellowship meeting, preachers meetings, is for the preaching. And so I praise the Lord to be a part of it, but I'm also excited for you to be able to be a part of it as well. So if you can help with that, please let us know if you can help fill a hole. If you already don't know what hole you're filling, and say, I can fill a hole, let us know. We'll let you know what you could do to be a help and a blessing there. And then also remember, we're going to Philadelphia, and we're excited about that. And we're going to be going on the 5th of this next month, on August 5th. And we'll be out there for a full week. It'll be myself, Sean, Livia, and then Brother Byron and Abby, their daughter Abby, are going with us. And so we're looking forward to that trip as well. But want to go out and try to be an encouragement and a blessing to them. And so just be in prayer that we might be able to do that. But as well, you can help by sending an offering. And that's one of the ways you aren't going, but you can send us. Amen. And send us so we can buy some extra supplies and stuff while we're there. So as the Lord might lead and guide for you to give. I'm excited. I got our update from Jehovah Jireh. And of course, they're totally having to remodel this old bar, turning into a church house. And Jehovah Jireh, I didn't see exactly how much they received, but they did receive a grant from Jehovah Jireh, who we just took on and supported. And so that's where that support goes, along with what we have and the fund that they've set up to see new churches built and planted. Amen. And so we're excited to be a part of that. And I love Brother Gates and the ministry, the work that's going on there. Amen. Proverbs 22:6. I'm pretty sure, I mean, we already know it. Probably most of us already knew it, but it's getting, the last 3 weeks we've been looking at this one verse. It says this: train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. And so tonight we want to begin to look at the elements of training. We began here about on this a few weeks ago, saying that every product has a process, and as a child is developed, they are developed in a process, and the process that you as a parent are putting them through is going to determine some things in their life. There's a factor that you play in the life of a child, and I would say this as well. You say, "Where I don't have kids, kids are all in the house." As a church family, your reception of children is part of that process. And I praise the Lord that we have a bus route, and we're looking forward to, I mean, as soon as the Lord will and we can, getting it going again. And it's a blessing to be able to know that those kids can know they can come here and they're going to find people that love them and people that care about them. And I'm sad to say that that's not the norm of most homes in America today. That's not. And it should be the norm at church. And so each and every one of us, if we have children that come around us, we're a part of the process that those children are going through. We can be a good influence or a bad influence on their life, and you can be the old crotchety guy down at the end of the block, or you can be everybody's grandpa. No, quite honestly, at the house of God, you can put children off, and you don't want children coming around, or you could be assisting them in that training process. And so we discussed as well. We're always training. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether or not you think you are. You are. Parents are always training. That does not necessarily mean it's purposeful, but it's always being done. And then last week we talked about the types of training. We need to model. We need to be modeling. There are certain things my kids need to see me do. There are certain things that I need to be involved in. If they're going to learn how to love people, they should be able to watch Dad and see how to love people, because Dad's primary job in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, is to love. Amen. And so if they're going to learn how to love, they should learn it from Dad. If they're going to learn how, respect, guess what, Mom? They're going to learn it from you. They're going to learn how to be respectful from Mom. And that's her primary command. And so we understand that there's some modeling that goes on. And then there's some mentoring. Some modeling and then mentoring. Mentoring, it goes a little step beyond just modeling. It's that you have been doing right, but you're also engaging in the life of another individual and trying to help them learn how to do right. That's mentoring, where someone will come along and say, hey, you know what? We need to work on this area. We need to level out here a little bit. We need to sand off these rough edges. And that's mentoring. And you should be putting yourself in that position. God's put you in that position, but as parents, not all the time do we take that position and speak up when we need to speak up and say what needs to be said. And so parents, you're going to one day get to a place, if you say, I'm just not that person that just engages in my kid's life. I mean, I'm just letting them go with the flow. I'm just going to tell you, there's going to be a day when you're not going to be able to interject into their life. Today you have an opportunity. One day there'll be a point to where you might not get that. And I'm thankful for a dad that said, hey, you know, swing on by the office after school. Amen. We have to have a talk, and I think of the Andy Griffith Show and Opie and Sheriff Taylor just sitting down and Dad just shooting straight with old Opie, you know, and that's honestly, come on, that's mentoring, and you'll either do it now or you'll lose an opportunity to do it later, and I promise this, if you'll do your diligent job now, you'll continue to do it later. As far as mentoring, there's going to be a relationship that's built, that there's going to be a desire on the child's part then to desire the input of Dad later on. It's going to happen. And so tonight, just want to look at some elements of training. That's kind of just a recap, some elements of training. Training involves many different things. The main thing that training involves, though, is restraint. Restraint. Proverbs 29. If you read your Proverbs every day, I read this one this morning. Proverbs 29:17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give thee delight unto thy soul. But it's only going to come with correction. Say, well, they're teenagers. You know, you can't tell a teenager what to do. No, you should have started when they were little bitty, telling them what to do. And as they become into teenage years, guess what? That doesn't stop. That doesn't stop. It ought to increase. I I'm not trying to pick on Sean or Olivia, but I have to interject in their lives as much as Bradley. That doesn't mean that they're awful and you're doing a terrible job. No, that just means that it doesn't stop just because they start becoming a teenager. You know, I have to continue to interject into their lives. I have to continue to put restraint. And we talked about this idea of training, of like a tree being trained or an arrow being trained. It's in the direction it would go. Every one of us have a natural bent of indulgence, sin, and pleasure seeking. Every one of us. It will take the path of least resistance if no one pushes us to do better. So training revolves restraint and putting yourself under restraint. Training involves guiding a child to respond in ways that are often contrary to his or her natural inclination. You say, well, what do you mean their natural inclination? Go into a peewee toddler nursery sometime. Just go and observe. Their natural inclination is, I'm going to take what you have. I'm going to hit you over the head with it after I take it. That's, I'm just saying, that's a natural inclination of a toddler, of an infant. It's not that I just want to share all my toys with everybody in the nursery. It's not the natural inclination of those toddlers. I'm not saying that all toddlers are horrible, horrible, wicked people. No, no, no. Understand with me. What I'm saying is there must be some training that needs to go into those toddlers to help them understand that this their natural inclination is not necessarily always what's right. I would also say this, that many adults still need to be learning that lesson. Amen. That my natural inclination is just to get angry. I'm good at it. In fact, I called my brother and I said, "Hey, we want to give the preachers a gift that show up." What I said, and he always got written all these books on different counseling subjects and different things. And I said, "What do you counsel preachers about the most?" And you know what he said? Anger. He said, inevitably, when I have a preacher coming to my office, he said, I can almost guarantee that at some point in the conversation, we're going to talk about his anger problem. And I said, well, okay, send me your book on anger. And then I thought a minute later, I wonder how many preachers are going to be angry at me for giving them a book on anger. But honestly, come on. As an adult, we dismiss our anger sometimes. And we dismiss our snide attitude sometimes because we're adults. No, no, no. You have a natural bent in some things. It might not be anger, but you have a natural bent in some areas that you're willing to accept of yourself that you would never expect or you would never allow in the life of your child. But you'll allow it in your life because now you're an adult. You understand with me, you're training your children to help them understand that, well, as soon as I get to be a 18, then I can yield to my natural bents as well. And that's just not true. You shouldn't be doing that. There's restraint involved. So how do you teach restraint? How do you teach restraint? The seeds of indulgence begin to sprout shortly after birth. Therefore, start training your child early in life. When our kids were little, you say, man, your kids, they sit there and some of them draw and some of them take a nap every now and then. But they can sit on a pew during church. And they have since they were little. My wife would, because she was, we were starting a church, and I was preaching, and she was doing the Sunday school class, and so she would play the piano for the congregational singing, and then she'd take some kids back in the room and teach Sunday school to them. And our kids were, Sean and Livia were just little. I think Livia was maybe two years old. Sean would have been 3 years old, and they would, because she said, I can't watch the nursery and teach Sunday school at the same time. And so I said, well, just leave the kids in the auditorium. And so, from 2 and 3 years old, they were sitting in the auditorium while I was preaching. The first Sunday was the greatest, but after the first Sunday, Olivia started to figure things out. But the first Sunday, she was sitting on the edge of the pew, and we had just a little bitty building. I mean, our whole building would fit in this room. That's how small it was, and there'd be plenty of room to spare. Just a small little space that we were renting, and it just had three rooms and a restroom. And Livia was sitting there by Sean, and she started inching over, you know, on the seat, and she was watching me the whole time. She was inching over, and I'm preaching, and I'm going like this, and trying to get her to sit still, and she just inches, and like 2 feet from her seat is the piano, and then you go around the piano to go into where Mom was, and she jumps up from that seat and bam, bam, right in the back of the piano, and ruined the whole service. It was awesome. But she learned how to sit still. And you say, well, how did she learn? Well, at an early age, mom set them down at 2 and 3 years old and said, okay, we're going to sit here and be quiet. 2 and 3 years old. Absolutely, can sit still and be quiet. No, they can. If we would help them to be trained. And the sad truth is we would most people are better at training their dog to sit still than they are their kid. And that's a reality. And that's a shame. That's a shame. They would take the time and the effort to make a dog sit still, and they do not take the time and effort to make a child sit still. And guess what? Your child needs to learn to sit still. I am ADD, I mean, to the max. I should have been on twice the normal dose of Ritalin when I was a little boy. I'm just telling you, I was. And mom made us sit still in church and not disrupt the whole room. It's training. It involves training. It says start at an early age. Teaching restraint includes providing good example. Mom, dad, providing good example. Verbal instructions. Praise. Many times we are ready to correct and tear down. We got to remember, we got to stop it when we're seeing right things and praise right things as well. And physical discomfort. Amen. We'll talk about this more next week, but physical discomfort, that's a part of training that we would apply the board of correction to the seat of knowledge. Remember, rules are not about harming us. Rules are because we desire to show our love. God, and I'm not going to redo all this, but we understand God established His law and He established rules for us to follow because He desired for us to love Him and He desired for us to learn how to love others. And therefore, He set up some guidelines and some rules and some laws for us. Amen. And teaching restraint involves helping children understand how to obey rules, how to follow boundaries that are set, meeting expectations, and listen, this just providing the ropes, if you will, for a child to grow within. Just putting up those boundaries and providing that they're understand what the rules are, what the boundaries are, and where the boundaries are going to be. Listen, you go over this, you've gone over the boundary, you've gone over the line, you've missed the mark. We need to teach them those. Rules should be wise, they should be just, they should be simple, and most importantly, they have to be enforced. That's the most important. It would be better off for me to get rid of rules that are not going to be enforced than to have a rule that the kids get to know I allow them to break over and over and over and over. I'm telling you, you do not benefit your kids when you say, well, we don't do that in our home, but I'm not doing anything about it. We can't act that way any more than we would at the house of God. We talked about it Sunday night. Then to say, well, yeah, you know, you shouldn't do that, but we're not going to judge you. No, come on. There has to be judgment within the house. It's supposed to start at the house of God. And so we have to enforce the rules that we have. We have to be clear about the rules. The kids should know what the boundaries are. They should. They should know. Hey, listen. You say, well, what do you mean boundaries? We lived in a 15-acre cherry orchard when we were there in Grandview, just again with just little kids, and there were flowers. There's this flower bed that went all the way around kind of the main property, and then it went out into the orchard, just out to the orchards, and you went out of the orchard, and you went right onto the highway, onto the roads, not highways, but just country roads where you know, we were out in the country, and just people just flew down the roads, you know, and you could, I mean, quite honestly. Honestly, you step out of the orchard, you better be looking which way, you know, either way, because cars are coming down swiftly. And so we had to teach Sean, listen, you don't go past the flowers. You stay in the yard. And we had to get him to where, because the dog would want to go outside the flower. He'd want to follow the dog. And so we'd have to correct him. And say, I had to correct him. We'd pat him on the rear end. We'd look him in the face and we'd say, listen, you don't go past the flowers. And it got to where, I mean, we didn't have to put a shock collar on him. Come on, we didn't have to put up a hot wire. No, he got to a point where he learned that he didn't go outside of the yard past the flowers. We didn't have to. I mean, and we got to the point to where if we went out, we would have to pick him up and take him with us. No, because he knew he wasn't supposed to go by there. And so these things, they have to be trained. But there has to be a clearness to the rules. There has to be a conciseness to the rules. And there should be a consistency to the rules. Yes and no. Yes, this is okay. No, that's not okay. And there needs to be a consistency to the rules. And we don't do very much favor when we yield to constant nagging of children. And I'm telling you, kids know how to nag. Amen. They do. They can ask the same question 100 times and get the same answer 100 times. And they're going to ask 101 just to see if you might have changed your mind. And I'm telling you, you've got to be consistent, mom and dad. You've got to be concise. And grandparents, you don't help when you don't follow through on consistency either, grandparents. Amen. We need to avoid, and you say, well, in setting these boundaries, these restraints, we need to avoid generalizations. One of the things, I really struggle here. Because I'll be doing something, the kids will come up, hey, Dad, can we do such and such? Maybe. And they know the difference between maybe and we'll see. They do. They're like, oh, Dad said maybe, so it might happen. But if I say we'll see, they know it wasn't going to happen. Okay? But it's a generalization, isn't it? It should be yes or no. That's why I kept saying, why are you studying this? Because why are we studying this? Because I need to study it. I need to be more consistent. I need to be more concise. Generalization. We need to avoid questions, negotiations, pleas. And most importantly, parents need to learn to speak authoritatively. That does not mean we get to yell and scream. But you in the home, mom and dad, are the authority. Act like it. My dad, when I was in college, I remember going home on my first Christmas break, and I was there, I don't know, second or third day I was home, first Christmas break, home from college, and I went over to a friend's house from high school and just hung out, and I got home, it was between 10:30, wasn't even 11 o'clock yet though, but it was after 10:30 and between 11, and I came walking through the door, and my dad was sitting in the easy chair, and as soon as I walked through the door, the TV went off, and I could tell that the spirit in the room just, you know, wasn't great. And he said, "Where have you been?" "I was over at Barry's house." We were just, you know, doing whatever we were doing. He said, "What time's curfew in this house?" I mean, college. I mean, are you kidding me? Curfew? No, curfew was 10:30. And my dad was just really clear. He said, "Listen, till you take a wife and you're on your own and you live and being your own man, curfew's 10:30. Sam, I can't believe that. No. But there was an authority in the house. I was pretty clear of who it was. It wasn't me anymore. Amen? And you say, well, I mean, when does this change? I think things change after one starts paying their own bills. Amen? I think things can change after one has some responsibility in their life. But when somebody's, kind of dependent on someone else to put a roof over their head, guess what? They're under the authority of another person. They're under that authority, and you have to take that authority. You need to make your request once. Amen? Not 100 times. Make your request once and expect it to be done. My kids are just like any other kids. I'll say something and they'll go, "Oh, what?" And I say, "You heard me." I said, "Listen, you heard me. I'll be back in a half hour. It better be done." And they, guess what? things get done. Because even though they want to act like they didn't hear, they heard. They heard. Don't get to a point where we're repeating things 20 times, hoping it gets done, and then we get frustrated. We just start doing things ourselves. And that's why a lot of parents just get, they don't have the kids do chores. They don't have the kids have responsibility. They don't have the kids accountable because the kids have trained them to just, I didn't hear you. Yeah, you did. Children, you're a bunch of liars. You are. You heard Mom. I'm trying to look at all of them. You heard Mom. You heard Dad. All right, Mom, Dad, remember, you're the one doing the training. They're not trained, but sadly, many times, we allow them to train us. And that's not the way it should be. It shouldn't be that they're training us. And so, expect absolute, voluntary, cheerful, amen, cheerful obedience. Cheerful obedience, because attitudes matter. Attitudes matter. And kids, listen up. When you go out and you get a job and you get told something to do and it's going to be as evident on your face at your job as it was at home that you don't want to do what you've been told to do, understand with me, you're probably not putting yourself too high on the promotion list. You're just not. But if you can learn at home that when Dad says, it's time to take out the trash, it's time to pick up the dog mess in the backyard, it's time to do this, it's time to do that, and you just get a cheerful, yes, sir, and you get it done, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, you're not helping your children by allowing them to be obedient with a bad attitude. Don't accept it. Don't allow it to be acceptable in the home. If there's an attitude problem, the attitude problem is an attitude issue of the heart. That needs to be addressed just as much as any type of disobedience that they would have. You need to address attitude. And my kids will tell you, many times they'll say, listen, your attitude is showing. Your attitude's showing. And it's not Dad who's lost his mind and Dad, Mom, who's a moron. No, no. Your attitude is showing. And it stinks. And it needs to be corrected. It needs to be pointed out. Parents, don't let it go by. Train for a good attitude. Always have children comply with respect. Oh, man. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. No, ma'am. That's not just something they do back in the South. That's something that it should be expected of children to learn how to say yes, sir. When I give an instruction to my kids, when they say yes, I was like, well, yes what? Yes what? Right, Alex? Yes, sir. Okay, great. We're working on that one with him right now. And you say, well, why do you have to work on that? Because of an attitude. An attitude. And I'm not trying to pick on him. He's as much a boy as any other boy was on the face of the earth. And guess what? Boys get attitude problems. And boys have some rebellion in them. And I'm telling you, it's yes, sir. It needs to be trained. It needs to be... Parents, help your kids learn to have that. Listen, if you're going to have restraint in the home, you're going to have to learn to win at all costs. Win at all costs. And you say, man, we've done this over and over and over. Well, you know what? If you had a dog and you were training them over and over and over and they weren't getting it and you were training them for something specific, what do you think you would do? Say, I want a specific action done. I want a specific obedience done. And this dog ain't cutting it. This horse ain't cutting it. This animal ain't... You'd get rid of the animal and find one that would if you had something specific. You can't get rid of your kids. You can't get rid of them. And quite honestly, you in your heart don't want to either. They're not just another animal. No, they're your flesh and blood. And you say, well, why would I take hours to train an animal? Because I have this deep affection. I'm just quite honestly, I think most people have a deeper affection for an animal than they do for their kids. When they refuse to continue to at all cost win. Children will dominate. They will dominate if they're allowed to. You say, well, what do you mean? I'm telling you, there's little 3 and 4 year olds that run their home. They do. That mom and dad, they scream and mom and dad run to their aid and go and do everything that they're told to do. They dominate their home. And they will if they're allowed to. There are teenagers that dominate the home. And mom and dad, I mean, the house is in chaos because there's some teenager that thinks they're going to have their way. And nobody's going to tell them what to do. They'll dominate if they're allowed to. If they're allowed to dominate. There are things that to train for early in a child's life to teach restraint. I'm just going to give these to you quickly. You need to teach these things to your children. And you say, if they haven't learned it yet, keep teaching them. They'll learn. Don't give up. Number one, not to touch. You teach children not to touch. You go over to someone's house, they shouldn't have to rearrange their home because your kid's coming over. Amen. Amen. I should have got some more elderly folks saying amen there. Should have. No. Your child should learn not to touch. You say, how do I train them? No. And you say, how many no's and how many slaps? I mean, you say, how long is it going to take? It might take a while, but eventually they're going to learn no means no. They need to learn not to touch. They need to learn not to whine. That'd be a blessing. Not to whine. We're not going to be whiners. We're not going to be complainers and babies and whiners. We're not doing that. We're not going to whine. We're not going to ask for things repeatedly. I need. I want. Please. No. We're not going to do that. You say, well, how do I train them? You stop them. Well, how? By restraint. I'm just telling you, sometimes you got to stop. You got to hold them one shoulder in each hand. I'm not saying meanly. I'm just saying hold them. Get in their face. Hey, listen, son. You're going to stop. We're not whining. We're not begging. We're just not going to act like that. You say, what if they keep going? Well, again, you might have to stop and apply the board of knowledge to the seat of correction, or however that goes. Amen? I'll go on. Children need to be restrained. They need to be taught to come when called. I called for you. I've called for you. You say, how long does that take? I don't know. I've got some teenagers, and it seems that we're still going through that training. But you're going to come when called. And when dad says, hey, stay in the room. So those are things that have to be trained. We need to train kids to, and some people aren't going to like this one, but I'm going to use it anyway. You say it's trained. What's this have to do with restraint? Children need to be trained to be tough. We got a lot of sissy children today. We got a lot of sissy tweens, and we got a lot of sissy millennials. They're a bunch of sissies. They are. I mean, they can't be corrected. You can't talk to them. You can't say anything to them. You can't correct them anyway because they're a bunch of whiny babies. And I'm telling you, you need to teach your children how to be tough. Teach them how to be tough. Teach them, listen, yes, sometimes people push you down. And you can dust yourself up off and keep walking, and you don't have to complain to the whole world about it. I'm not condoning pushing each other down. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that every time my life is shaken a little bit, doesn't mean that I have a right to whine and cry and act like, oh, the whole world's against me. I'm going to suck my thumb and eat worms. No, teach your children to have a little toughness. Kids scream like bloody murder. And we have one of our children, I'm not going to embarrass them, but when they were little and they got a correction, or you just swat them on the rear end, they would scream like, I mean, you thought you were like digging a knife into their rear end or something. I mean, it was like, ah! I mean, the whole church would hear it. It was like to the point where we, man, we don't even want to correct him in public because, I mean, they'll scream. I almost said one of the genders, but they would scream like they were dying. And anytime they were spanked, and so we had to train them. Listen, Dad's not killing you. We're not. There is some pain involved. I'm not saying that discipline doesn't involve, that slapping your hand doesn't hurt or popping you on the rear end doesn't hurt a little bit. I'm not saying that. But it certainly does not invoke the response you're giving. Certainly not. Certainly not. And there's training to be tough. We need to train children to be thoughtful, to think of others more than themselves. To think of others more than themselves. To be courteous. To be respectful. Should be that they would have a respect for those around them. Train children. children need to be trained in all these different areas. They need to be shown restraint. Training also, and I'm gonna speed up. I know what we're taking time. But training involves giving responsibilities. Training involves giving responsibilities and expecting that those responsibilities would be complete. Children do not become responsible adults because they start to reach the ripe old age of 16 to 18. That does not make a responsible adult. No, they need to be trained to have responsibilities. They need to be preparing as a child to become an adult. Say, well, aren't we going to let our kids be little and let her? Listen, we're training our teenagers right now in our home that they get up in the morning and we're going to read our Bibles, and then they've been over here working at the church. Why? Because there's work to do. And you say, well, there's also TV to watch, and there's also summer break, and yeah. And when you become an adult, there is no summer break. You're going to, you're going to dream of the day when you got a day off, you know, and it's, you're always working, you know, and so, come on, this is biblical. You go read the book of Titus, read Timothy. There is an admonition that older teach the younger to do older things. Come on, to do adult things. And so that can't start. All right, you're leaving the house next month. We probably better learn how to do laundry. My wife, and I worry about it a little bit. Some of my favorite clothes might get messed up. But we have children that are able to do laundry. Yes, and we have children that clean toilets. We have children that do dishes. And you say, well, what children? Bradley does dishes. Wow. He does not do them well. But he does dishes. You say, I just can't believe. No, because we're training now to do things that need to be done in life. The training now to be done. Ladies should know how. A young girl should know how to keep a home. She should not be learning how to cook. She should be learning how to clean. She should be learning how to do the things that would need done at home so she can be a keeper at home. She needs to be taught. Listen, she ought to be prepared for motherhood. Say, well, so you just think all girls are going to be mothers. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying there should be some preparation that's going in there. Men should know how to work. They should know how to work. And still, listen, I'm going to miss some of you, but they should know how to work and then still give of themselves. Come on. That we get down at work and all my time. And I'm telling you, we have married men in church today, in churches today, that they think, I mean, I work 40 hours a week. I can go do as I please and live as I please. And my time, I'm on my time now. You're a father. Yeah. Amen. You have kids at home. It's not just your time. It's not just check out me time. It's not I get to go home and sit down and watch TV time. There might be some things that need done. I'm not saying to watching the TV is always bad, but I'm just saying you better make sure that you have some things done. And you need to train your children that, listen, we worked, and guess what? We might have some more work to do when we get home. And guess what we call that? We call that being a man. Men ought to know how to work. Our society is plagued with men that have no clue how to work. No, they can might even be able to hold down a job. But as soon as break time hits, I mean, they are the first one to the break room. And as soon as the whistle blows, they are the first one to check out. And as soon as they're going to take every bit of time that's theirs. And we got this great union mentality that flows through our teenagers today and is going into our young adults today. And I'm telling you, they're just done. When it's quitting time, I'm quitting. I am done. Listen, men work. I hated it growing up, but I find myself more and more, you can ask my wife, it annoys the fire out of her too, more and more being like my dad. Like, my dad would get time off, and on his time off, guess what he planned to do? We're going to clean out the barn. Let's work. Well, we're going to go do something at the churchyard. Let's work. I thought we were taking the day off. And guess what? Well, why is that? Because men work. They work should work hard. I'm not saying there's no time for play and there's no time for dilly-dally, but there should be responsibility that is going on in a child's life. Training children involves teaching them the importance of taking responsibility for their own lives. And listen, as a Christian, not just for my own life, but for the life of my neighbor. Come on. That I'm not just, it's not just about, well, I'm responsible, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm taking care of myself. No. That we take responsibility for our own selves, but then we also look every man to the needs of his neighbor. That's a very Christian attitude, and it's one that not very many Christians have anymore. We're going to take care of us. And, well, I showed up at church and told everybody hi. There might be some needs that need met. Your children should be given responsibility of household chores. They should be making a contribution to the home. They are living there. They are eating there. They are provided for there. They should be contributing there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Say, what age should they be contributing? From a very young age, they should be contributing. As they mature and grow, there's an increase in their responsibility. Two more. Training involves, and I do know what time it is. Don't worry. Training involves maintaining a good relationship. Maintaining a good relationship. You as a parent need to be able to speak with your children. And if it's always that they're being yelled at, or they're being corrected, or they're being torn down when they've done something wrong, understand with me, man, you wouldn't work for that boss. Right. You'd go find a new job. Come on. You'd go find a new job. And so we need to understand that there's a need for a relationship. This is one thing my dad kind of has taught me, and one that I feel is right. Rules without relationship produce rebellion. Rules without relationship produce rebellion. And my children are not here. I joke about it, especially when they were young. I said, yeah, we got Sean on a 12-year plan, and by the time he's 12 years old, I'll never have to mow the yard again, you know. And I joke about them, how they're our slaves, and they have to do my bidding, and all those kind of things. It's almost a joke. But listen, if all that my input and my relationship with them was just telling them what to do all the time, and you got to do this, got to do this, got to do this, got to do this. Or, come on, if it goes to another extreme where it's that I'm just the fun dad or the fun mom or the fun parent, listen to me, it's going to produce rebellion. There needs to be rules. There needs to be relationship as well to have a good functioning relationship. All right? And then lastly tonight, training involves having resolve. Training involves having resolve. Training will be harder on you. Amen. It'll be harder on you than it will be on your child. It will be. I'm telling you, dads, we better be mindful of that with our wives, because it's harder on them, I believe, because I've been gone all day. It's harder on my wife than it is even on me. And I better be mindful of that. Better be mindful of that. But training involves resolve. That you as well are going to be disciplined to continue to invoke the training that is needed when it's needed. It's so easy to just ignore it. It's so easy to just, I got to do it again. I'll do it later. And I'll forget. But when there's training to be had, I'm going to resolve. I'm going to get it taken care of when it's time to take care of it. You say, well, that just means another conversation. I've been talking to people all day. And you have one more conversation, Dad, that you need to have. Amen. There's one more conversation that needs to be had. And that's with that little one that lives in your house. It's hard to accept, but every product has a process. Every product has a process. And your system of behavior is perfectly designed, get this, your system of behavior is perfectly designed to produce the results that you are getting. You catch that? Parents, our system of behavior is perfectly designed to produce that rebellious child. So what are you saying? I'm responsible for their rebellion? I'm saying they're a product of an environment and of the process that you're putting them through. And for you to just throw up your hands like, oh, I have nothing to do with this, that's wrong. It might be a sign that you need to get a little more engaged, but it's not a sign to just throw your hands up in the air and act like, I have no idea what's going on here. Well, you should. You should. And your system of behavior is perfectly designed to produce the results that you are getting. And so you say, well, I don't like the results I'm getting. Then you better consider your process. No, like I don't like the direction we're going at all. Then you better start changing some things in your home. You say, well, this kid doesn't respond like that kid did. Yeah, because this kid isn't that kid. It might mean that you have to deal with this kid in an individual way that you didn't have to deal with that kid at. But if I want to see the product, if I have a desired product, I better consider my process when I am training my children. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed tonight.